to marriage beyond the vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're having an open forum, so you are invited to call if you have a question that you need some guidance with for your relationship. Give Marcos a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Lynn calling in from Philadelphia on line 5. Lynn, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Marcos. I was hoping that I could get some spiritual advice from you. I've been married for over 20 years, and I feel like for the last year and a half, I've been going through a serious attack from Satan, a spiritual warfare. My spouse admitted to me that within the first year of the marriage, that he had a one-night stand, but he just admitted that this year, the beginning of this year.
Okay.
Yes, I was mad, but what am I going to do after 20 years? You know what I mean? So I wasn't holding that, you know, over his head. I'm like, you know what? You're just going to move forward. You know, I was upset that he lied all that time.
But, absolutely.
You know, right, but I'm moving forward. But it turned, like, he really tried to turn that around on me. He started making all these false allegations against me. I have a type of career that causes me to travel frequently. He was accusing me of just sleeping with everybody. Now, okay. And I will say, and God be my witness, that I've never stepped out on my marriage ever. Mm-hmm. In over 20 years, I've never done that. It's just, and what I try to explain to him, and which is more frustrating for me, is that you call yourself a man of God, you know, and I know I'm a child of God. Why don't you understand that my relationship with God is way more important than anything else that I have? But I would never do that. That's just not me. I just would not do that. So, you know, this has been going on for over a year, and he wants to continually hold on to these false allegations. It came to a point, it came to a head, and I actually went and filed for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do that, and I still, in my heart, I'm still in love with my spouse,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I can't allow him. What my issue is, I cannot allow him to tear down my character, my morals, and in front of my children, you know, make these type of allegations. You know, we have children that, you know, a son and a daughter. I don't want my daughter to see me accept and allow someone to do those kind of things to me. As she grows up, she should not allow that to happen to her, whether
absolutely.
It be her father, her husband, or whoever.
I hear
and
you.
Let me
cut you off, and I'm sorry, just because I want to make sure we get to the heart of this really quickly. First of all, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And I think I want to say really good for you for putting your foot down. I think you might know this, but sometimes when you're in something, the obvious is just not so obvious because you're in it.
Right.
From someone who's hearing this and kind of getting a view from outside, something's terribly wrong. And I tell you why. Number one, it's not even so much the one night stand and the infidelity, that's horrific, but that happened 20 years ago.
Exactly.
It's the fact that he was going to take that to his grave because he did not say it. And then from someone, again, that's watching from, you know, maybe 15,000 feet, you know, from far away, I can see it. There's a different agenda. Something else is the issue because something's not right. And I don't know if he's going through some emotional or psychological breakdown, because that's just something's not
that
right.
May have been there was something that happened traumatically to him around September, and
okay.
then this kind of all jumped off around starting November, which I've gone to a couple of therapists and, you know, explained this whole, because it's really, I mean, it's breaking my heart, and on top of that, you know, I just don't understand it. And so they were saying that, you know, maybe there's some type of post-traumatic syndrome going
on. There's something.
Clicked,
there's something. There's something. So Lynn, let me just continue on here, and I tell you
okay.
why. A normal circumstance, the person will either take it to their grave, struggle with it, or try to forget it, or they kind of relive it, like that guilt starts catching up, or even more so, there's something else that's going on, and he brings up that point to try to make his point. And again, okay. In his mind, this is all making sense. It's like, listen, you're telling me that you're faithful, but I don't believe you because guess what? 20 years ago, I was unfaithful to you, and you didn't know it, so therefore my reasons must be valid. But it is something, and when you say it's a spiritual warfare, I really do believe, not only because he was going to take this to his grave and he brings it up, but also someone that doesn't understand grace, like you're forgiving him. Like he, even though he did this and it hurt and it happened, yes, it happened 20 years ago, but it still happened.
Exactly.
And he still hurt you. And you're willing to forgive that. The response should be like, oh, thank you. I mean, you're amazing. Thank you. But instead, he has an issue and is starting to doubt you, and you've given him no reason to doubt. I mean,
nope.
Other than the fact that, okay, yes, you do travel and there are things that could be concerning, but there, after 20 years, if you're not established some trust and if something's not else right. is not going on, so you're right. And I think that different therapists you've talked to, my encouragement to you would be to really push and love him enough to see if you can get him to get some kind of therapy because something else is going on with him.
And I totally agree, and I have been trying to do that. He's very prideful, which that's a sin within itself, and I know that, and he knows that. And, you know, we have also friends that are pastors, and, you know, all of them have been, you know, so willing to, you know, help us in some kind of way or, you know, talk with us. But if no one, if whoever it is not agreeing with him, he cuts him off.
Okay.
He cuts him off. You know. So.
Okay. Well, I just
want
to share.
You have to want to help yourself at some point, and you know, and so I said, you know, I did not want to file for divorce, but I felt like I had justifications to do that, you know, with the infidelity, and I don't like. So if you're so gung ho about me being unfaithful right now, which I'm not, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because,
absolutely.
You know, a lot of times to me, like, that's what it boils down to. What, you know, you must be doing something you have no business doing. You know, that you're holding on to something like that. And every, you know, and nobody believes anything that you're saying.
And I think, Lynn, this is where you're going to have to really be careful. Again, good for you. You're putting your foot down about this. But the Bible says, above all things, guard your heart. Like, you realize your husband's not well. Something else is going on. Now, you do need to protect yourself. You got to protect your children. You know, emotionally, this is not good. You definitely don't want that. So we're with you 100%. Like, what you're doing is right. Just my only caution to you is guard your heart during this process. And I just want to leave you with something. It might sound really, like, cliche-ish, or it might sound like, okay, but this is what the scriptures say. Mark 9, you know, obviously, you know, there was a demon that the disciples couldn't drive out. And Jesus ends up doing it in verse 29. He says, this kind can only come out by prayer. And then, you know, in the little footnote, it says by prayer and fasting, that there's some things that only God himself has to intervene and change. Like nothing you would say, nothing anyone says.
Exactly. I feel like there's nothing I can say.
No, there isn't.
Like to convince him. And I even said to him, like, look, I'm willing to take a lie detector test to prove that
doesn't work. That's not going to work.
Anything. But he's so stuck. Like he don't want to do that. Cause then, you know, then he would really be looking crazy.
But that's not the issue. But Lynn, the fact that you're even like trying to negotiate with him,
right.
That's not the issue. I mean, remember he was unfaithful to you 20 years ago. That you haven't shown him any reason to be unfaithful. There's something else going on. And I think you got to understand he's not well. And something I told a good friend of mine recently, I said, listen, you're going to have to really pray to not hear him, but hear the illness. Something's wrong. All right.
So again, I
want to encourage you, Lynn, you know, keep your head up. I mean, you're heading in the right direction. You can't be okay with this, but don't take it to heart because you're not talking to someone who is, you can, you know, reason with. He's not well. So you said as a spiritual warfare, this one, it's going to have to be God to intervene. And I hope and pray that by you pulling away, he can hit bottom and get humble and say, hey, I do need help.
Right.
Because enough people, if he says he doesn't agree, well, how many people need to tell you? If someone tells you, you have a tail, all right, Lynn, someone tells you have a tail and you think they're crazy. But someone else comes and tells you you have a tail, and you still think they're crazy. And after, how many people have to tell you that they think you have a tail?
Right.
Until you actually decide to turn around and check. Oh,
right.
Wait a minute. I mean, so it's that's what we're talking about. So hopefully, after hearing it enough times from enough trustworthy people, he'll realize, wait a minute, I have the problem. It's not my wife. It's me. But thank you, Lynn. We do appreciate this conversation. We'll be praying for you. Please call us back and keep us posted on what's going on.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much, Rhea.
Absolutely.
God bless.
You too, Lynn.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. So we are in the midst of an open forum today on Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we are welcoming your phone calls at 855-454-5905. Stay with us. We will continue with more conversation after this. Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Here's our phone number. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Russell calling in on line 4. Russell, good morning. You're live on the air. I'm sorry.
We just lost Russell. No. Hold on. Let's see what's going on here.
All right. Russell, hi. Are you there?
Hi. How you doing? Are you there?
We're here. We thought we lost you for a moment, but I'm glad we have you here. Welcome. You're listening, and you called into Marriage Beyond the Vows, and today is an open forum, so actually, whatever your question is for us, go ahead and give it a shot.
Okay. This is my question. Two people that are married. No, let me not put that in third party. I was married to a woman for 15 years.
Okay.
And I stepped out of the marriage, and the person I stepped out with, I ended up falling in love with and spent the next 17 years with them.
Okay.
She also had a partner, and that one got killed, and now she has another partner she's been with for the last 10 years. My question is, what advice would you give me to get my walk right in the kingdom? Because I'm not good at naming addresses, but I know Matthew talks about divorce. I know Mark talks about divorce. But I always try to go to Romans and say, you know, whoever shall call upon the Lord and believe it in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord shall be saved. So I'm kind of like wondering, what advice would you give someone? And on the other hand, the person I stepped out with also died.
Okay. All right. So let me get one thing clear, though. When you said, are you currently with the person that you had stepped out with or no?
She died. She died last year.
Oh, the one you stepped out with, not the original wife.
No, not the original wife.
Oh, wow.
The original wife is well, and she's in a relationship with a
she
man.
Moved on with her life after you left.
Right.
All right, so you're basically asking, what do you do now? You've definitely messed up. You lived a life that you're not proud of. You've done some things you're not proud of. You obviously hurt your first wife. You stepped out on her, and then you were doing some things you know weren't right. You know, you bring a very good point, I think, and I think, Russell, Jesus says in John 1 that, the Bible, John 1 talks about Jesus and says that he comes with full of grace and truth. And the mistake we make a lot of times, especially in the church, is we go too much to one more than the other. So you might find a church that they're totally about grace, but they're not challenging you enough to change your life. Or you hear someone that's very condemning, but they're not talking enough about grace. But Jesus had that perfect balance, right? Where Jesus encounters someone, it might have been the woman caught in adultery, and he forgives her. Or it would be a Pharisee that's very religious, and he rebukes him. Like it's like, how did Jesus know when to be what? Like, when to do what? And so I think it starts off, And only God knows, number one, your heart. And the posture you have right now is one that's very humble. And you're saying, listen, I just want to do what's right. I just want to get right. So let me go to that scripture for a second, because it's a scripture I believe that gets very misinterpreted. And it's the one you mentioned in Romans. It's Romans 10:9-10. And it's basically, if you believe with your if you declare with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times people mention then they say, listen, all you gotta do is you gotta mention it with your mouth, you say Jesus Lord and you believe, and that's it, you'll be saved. But I think we misunderstand that will be saved part. It doesn't mean that at that moment, okay, bam. And I know that I'm being controversial here, because some people are like, no, you're in that moment. No, listen. Let me tell you where that will be saved comes in. If you believe, it's not just a belief where you have it in your heart and you knew nothing about it. If you believe, you're willing to do anything God asks you to do. So I'll give you an example, Russell. If you really believe and God tells you that you need to go to Jerusalem and dunk yourself in the Red Sea, what will you do?
I would go to Jerusalem and dunk myself in the Red Sea.
I mean, you'll
the Lord says the same, of course.
Exactly. If he tells you to stand on your head, you know, for 24 hours, you'll do whatever because he's Lord, right?
Right.
So once you get to that point, will you be saved? Absolutely, because you're going to do whatever he tells you. So as you stumble upon God's word and he tells you, listen, you're fornicating, you're in immorality, and you're going to repent because you're like, man, I don't want that. And if you find out, man, you've been doing other things, and that's the common thread you see when people totally surrender, it really is something that you must do first, of course, in your heart, but then your actions have to follow if that's truly what you are. Now, if you say you're surrendered, but then you're not, you know, if he tells you, you know, Russell, you got to repent and you got to forgive, and you're like, that one hurt too much, I'm not forgiving that person, then you're not surrendered. So Jesus is truly not Lord of your life. And so I think it starts with that surrendered heart and that you truly give all that. And I think that's where you're trying to get to.
I'm trying to get to, and the fact that, you know, because the woman I was with for 17 years, we had two children together, you know, am I really sorry now because the woman is dead, or am I, you know, I want to get my walk right, like I said, but, I mean, do I want to get it right now because, oh, well, there's, you have nobody and the Lord is the only thing that's left. I just questioning myself about and asking you for advice on where do I go when these thoughts come to my mind, like, you know, am I really just going back because, you know, she's dead, I'm alone, I'm raising a couple of boys on my own, mm-hmm. You know? That's what I'm trying to figure out. What advice, mm-hmm. You know, what advice would you give, you know, somebody like, you know, maybe some scriptures to read, maybe a prayer-a-thon where you go
sit
for 24 hours just, you know, supplicating to the Lord. I'm just confused right now about what.
I love it. Russell, you're asking the right questions, and I'm going to actually share a passage with you in just a moment. I do want to clarify, you know, the Red Sea is not in Jerusalem. It's far it depends how you look at it, right? It's definitely miles away from Jerusalem, but you understood my point. Real quick here. So there is a passage I want to share with you, because I believe it's not even a time when you're worshiping right now, right? You're just woke up this morning, you listened to the radio, and I guess God put it on your heart to say, man, I'm going to pick up the phone. I want to call.
Yeah, right? I did. I mean, I've listened to you guys on Saturday mornings a lot of times, even when the person I was with was in the car with me, we would listen to your show,
wow.
You know? And I enjoyed it, but this morning, I just really had this burning desire to say, let me call an ex. What advice would he give someone?
Sure.
In my situation, you know?
I'm going to give you a scripture that I want you to read and think about. I'm just going to mention it a little bit, and then I'm going to read one part here to you. But it's in the book of, you know, Acts of the Apostles. So there's the book of Acts.
And
it's chapter 8. And there's a guy there that we never even hear his name. He's just from Ethiopia. They call him the Ethiopian eunuch. You may be familiar with him, maybe not. But either way, the Ethiopian eunuch was very knowledgeable. He obviously had a desire to please God, but he was reading something in while he was riding his chariot. He was reading from the Old Testament, and he didn't understand what he was reading. He was trying to understand. Yeah. He's trying to make sense of things. And so,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just, when you said that, that brought me memories to my mind.
I hear you. So this is what happened. So he's not understanding, and God obviously sends Philip, and Philip, just a great disciple that loved God, loved Jesus. He was obedient to God. He uses that opportunity to teach him. And what it sounds like, Russell, is you need someone to explain, someone to study the Bible with you and teach you more. Now, not everybody who says is a teacher is someone that you want to learn from. You want to make sure their life matches what they're, you know, that they're practicing what they preach. Because a lot of people can preach to you.
Right.
I mean, you can pick a church. You know, hey, I'll go to that church and they're going to tell me. But you want to make sure it aligns with God's word. And so what happens there is if you read that passage in Acts 8, you see the humility that he had and how it led him to salvation. And you want to know something historical that's pretty amazing?
What's that?
Ethiopia is surrounded by a lot of countries right now that are very Islamic countries. But historically and even, you know, traditionally, Ethiopia is still very Christian, even though it's surrounded by other Muslim countries. And historians attribute that it was probably this man from Ethiopia that went back to Ethiopia and shared his life, his faith so much that he converted, and that stuck. And throughout the centuries, people have remained true to Christianity after all those years. I mean, that to me is just a little side note, but it's pretty amazing how someone's life can impact a whole nation.
Yes.
And
sir.
So you never know, Russell, the humility you have, how God is going to lead you. I want to have more conversation with you, if you don't mind. If you can give your number and take my number from our producer, Larry. Just want to have more conversation. I don't want to leave too much of the topic. This is Marriage Beyond the Vow. So you have a great point, but I want to have more conversation with you, if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And Russell, don't hang up. Stick close and listen to Larry, as he's going to give you some more info.
All right. Thank you very much, you guys.
Thanks a lot.
You too, Russell.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Tamara calling in from New Jersey. Tamara, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Now, are we pronouncing your name correctly? Tamara?
Tamara.
Tamara. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. Tamara. So, Tamara, what is your comment or question for us today?
Well, my question was regarding, I was recently married, recently divorced. I found out that my ex-husband lied to me before we got married.
So he deceived you, and he was doing something you didn't know. What was he lying about?
Well, without going into too much detail,
okay,
because we're on the air, but
sure.
You know, prior when we were dating and courting and, you know, we shared different things, our expectations between each other. And I stated to him, there was something that I did not want to deal with. And he continuously lied about it. And I gave him multiple opportunities prior to make sure that, you know, if there's something that you need to tell me, that you need to tell me.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, because I felt as though, like, I love you enough to, with the situation, as long as you're honest with me, to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But because when it was exposed, a lot of things also happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept lying, and I kept trying to reconcile with him. And, you know, it would just go back and forth. I would harden my heart. He would harden his heart. We would say things, and it just blew up.
I hear you. Let me try to get this clear. So were there any signs before the marriage, or did you kind of uncover a bunch of lies after the marriage?
Well, there were some signs. However, it was more so a thing of it was a financial thing, so I understood part of his position.
Mm-hmm.
So I could never really find out the truth because he kept covering it up.
But this is before you got married?
Yes.
All right, so there were red flags, and you just didn't really, you know, you ignored the red flags. All right, so you, without going into a lot of details, you basically saying you married a man who, for the life of him, could not tell the truth. I mean, it was one lie after another, uncovering
after
another.
Can I also intercede and say that this man was also a member of the clergy?
Okay. Okay, well, that, I mean, sometimes the Bible does say that, you know, there are wolves in sheep's clothing, right? Maybe that if someone is trying to deceive
you,
exactly,
I understand. That's
probably the best place to go because people might assume, oh, he must be an honest man. Look, he's a man of the cloth. You know, he's a spiritual man. But, of course, we know the Bible's very clear. There will be savage wolves. There will be men who would just disguise themselves as spiritual. That's why Jesus was so indignant about the Pharisees, because they looked the part, but they weren't dealing with the real issues in their hearts. And then he even called them whitewashed tombs. Right? He's like, you look good on the outside, but inside, I mean, you're full of dead bones and decayed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so that's, from what you're telling us, it sounds like that's the kind of man you married who didn't have integrity, kept lying one thing after another. And so you uncovered all this and you decided, okay, I can't live with this anymore, correct?
Yes.
And you divorced him. Now, is that part of your question or you just wanted to share? Okay.
Because I already know what the Bible says about divorce. And part of the reason why I kept trying to reconcile is because I know what it says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up until the day of the divorce, I actually tried to reconcile with him.
Mm-hmm. So your question is what? Can you remarry because of this?
Yes.
How long has it been, first of all?
How long has what?
You've been divorced. Have you been divorced?
Yes. All right. A month.
Okay, so you just got divorced. All right.
Yes.
For the first thing I want to encourage you, and not that the Bible puts any time on it because it doesn't, but I think, you know, it's always a mistake to, like, just get divorced and already think about another relationship. I'm not saying you are. But I'm just,
I wasn't saying that at all. Yes.
I understand, but I just wanted to make sure I put that there because that's also a warning sign. You want to make sure, listen, you just got out of a really bad relationship, a real bad marriage. You don't want to go in trying to find someone else. You don't need that for security. You need to get closer to God, really let God direct your paths, right? But mm-hmm. with that said, is based on the scriptures, and okay, and I can tell you my opinion, but then the scriptures are the scriptures, and I can't change that, and that's not a matter of opinion, right? So the scripture, according to 1 Corinthians 7, talks about if you end up leaving your husband, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not for infidelity. It's just you'd leave him because it was, you know, hell on earth. You just couldn't take it. The Bible says that you're not to remarry, that it's better to be alone. I mean, not just better, but you are to stay alone unless you reconcile with him,
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't because of immorality. So at that point, you had to make a choice. Look, life was so hard being with him that it's better to be alone. Now, I think we had that previous caller, Russell, share. It's like he's been through different situations and, you know, different people in their life, they've died. So it's not like he can reconcile.
Right.
I mean, even the person he was with that he stepped out died. So it's, in a lot of ways, he's really trying to focus on his relationship with God, which is commendable. I would encourage you, Tamara, to do that at this point. Now, you're saying, can you never remarry? Well, I think that's where this becomes highly, highly debatable, and there are many different opinions on it. I can tell you right now, there are pastors that will absolutely preach that you can never remarry, there are others that will tell you differently. I really believe this is between you and the Lord. And, you know, if, like, let's say, for example, a year from now, 2 years from now, your ex-husband, you find out he's married again. Mm-hmm. So now that means he broke that covenant. He didn't remain mm-hmm. faithful. He's not trying to resolve things. And so are you free now? And I think that's where the Bible's not absolutely clear where if it's for infidelity. But I tell you one thing. God's heart is always, and has always been, that marriage be forever. And unless there's infidelity, the marriage is not broken until death. I mean, really, it's what the Bible teaches.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
And again, I can't tell you my opinion, because, you know, my opinion, it really doesn't matter, does it, when the Bible is very clear about something?
No, I understand that. And you actually kind of confirmed what I was thinking as well. But I just wanted to get a little bit more clarity, mm-hmm. if possible, from someone else.
Sure.
I'm still in love with my husband, although the things that have transpired still do hurt and haunt me. Mm-hmm. But in essence, the only thing I wanted my husband to do, or my ex-husband to do, was to be honest.
Yeah, to change. And you know what? There's still hope, Tamara.
And
sort
of resolved and worked things out if you just would have been honest.
And it's not too late. You know why? Because sometimes people need to hit bottom. They need to see, wow, this woman left me, divorced me. My lies are getting me nowhere. And there's hope. As long as he has breath in his lungs, as long as he's alive, there's always the opportunity that he could repent. And I would say keep praying for soul, because you never know if he's truly a changed man. I'm not talking about religious because he's in a clergy or whatever. I'm talking about he
right.
truly sees it and repents.
Right.
He would be a very different man. Honestly, what? True repentance would be he would not only stop lying, he would be the most honest man you will ever find. That would be repentance. Like, he'll
right.
be a different person.
Right.
And then, of course, I'm sure if that's how different he would be, I'm sure you wouldn't hesitate. You would marry him.
Exactly. I don't know. It's
a lot of prayer, Tamara. And honestly, he is going to have to be within him and God. There's nothing you can do. And I think that's the mistake. When we love someone mm-hmm. a lot, we want to intervene, and we want them to get it so badly, but
mm-hmm.
it's what Jesus, that scripture about Jesus and Lazarus. I mean, and Lazarus, like, please, you know, send someone back to warn them. He's like, listen, they don't listen to Moses. They don't listen to the word. Who are they going to listen to? Even
right.
if someone rose from the dead, which we know has happened,
mm-hmm.
they won't listen because they're not ready to listen.
Listen, exactly.
So, Tamara, thank you. Thank you very much. We'll keeping you in prayer as well.
All right. Thank you very much.
God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Let's go to Denise. Denise is calling in on line one from Philadelphia. Denise, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning,
How
Denise.
Are you?
We're doing great, Denise. What is your comment or question for us today?
Okay. My question is, I'm struggling with reconciling with my husband after what happened over a month ago.
Okay.
I was beaten up, sustained some injury, not severe, but I did have to go to the emergency room.
You did?
Yes.
Okay, that's severe enough.
The judge ordered that I go when I went to take the PFA out because, mm-hmm. Because of the injury I had. So now, we're both in the church. I've had two sessions, with the counselor there. But we can't meet together because of the PFA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we went to court once on the 17th of November. The judge said basically he's going to give us a 90-day cool down.
Okay.
Now, I know he reached out to someone in the church and, told them pretty much, a lot of things. I'm supposed to meet with that person and the counselor to talk about some of the things, but I really just want to talk about what happened recently.
Okay.
So that's what I think is the most important thing right now to me.
Okay, so your husband beat you pretty bad. I mean, you're saying it wasn't, like, he didn't kill you, obviously, but
I thought I was going to die. Actually.
Yeah, then that's what I mean. So he beat you pretty bad. So mm-hmm. this is some serious abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the first time?
Yeah, but I saw it coming before.
Okay, so his anger kept escalating, and they got to the point.
He's in the military, he's a vet. And,
okay.
So I saw it 2 weeks before that. It had brewed, and, I'd called the cops, and, they told me to go down and file the paper, but I just didn't do it.
All right, here's what I think, Denise. You obviously love your husband, because if you didn't love him, you would have been done with him, and you're like, forget it.
Right.
You love your husband, but you also don't want to be abused. And,
right.
And amen. You shouldn't. Love does not put up with that. I mean, when love talks about, love is patient, love is kind, it never says love puts up with abuse.
Right.
That's just not in the Bible. So I think you definitely did the right thing. You need to stay away for a while.
Okay.
And this is why. It's hard to tell, especially after something so recent and something he did and lost so much control,
mm-hmm.
that he is a new man, that he's repented.
Right.
He has to show you that. And this, you know, the scripture I always go to is 2 Corinthians 7 and the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow.
Right.
Is there going to be any charges pressed in addition to this? Like, is he in trouble because of it?
Well, it's up to me. And
are you going to press charges?
Well, I thought about it, but, you know, because of the fact that, you know, he goes on social media, you know, talking to different people, you know, about me mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So I feel as though...
And he's talking negative?
He's done something very bad to me.
Okay, so he has not owned what he's done. If he's talking bad about you
but
on social media...
he told one person. We had a third party who, and as a pastor in the islands, you know.
Okay.
And he had reached out to him, and he said he had lost it, and, you know, he realized he needed help. But I don't know. I don't get the impression that he has sought any, because I've always, you know, told him, you know, you should go to the VA and get some help.
But the social media stuff, he started posting what on social media?
Well, I had a friend who used to stay with us, a female friend,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't the right thing to do, but, you know, I know better now.
Okay.
But, you know, we had to put her out because she did something, and then she hit his wedding band, and,
okay.
you know, she started to behave kind of weird, so mm. put her out. So mm. he reached out to her and started telling her about me, that I'm evil,
mm.
and,
see,
you know,
that's
stuff
what I
like
mean.
That.
All right.
And I saw that he was reaching out to her before. He was communicating with her before the incident took place, when she left.
Mm.
So that really bothered me.
Denise, I could only base it on what you're telling me, but it sounds like your husband has some serious issues.
Yes,
and it's
she does.
Not...
The counselor did say that, too, when I went to her. So, you know, yes, she did. Yes,
and,
she does.
And listen, you need to stay away until you see a change. And that's 2 Corinthians 7, godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's only your perspective, so we're not hearing his side. But
right.
from what you're
right.
telling us and what he did, I mean, it's atrocious. He is not, he doesn't sound like he got it and humble. I mean, man, this man deserves to go to jail.
Yes, that's what I think. And also, you know, earlier in the year, we started the year very rough. We had an issue, and he reached out to somebody again about our marriage.
A female?
Talk about, yes.
Hmm.
Now, this is a young girl. You know, we could be like her parents, so we were oh. just, you know, helping her out. But he went there and poured his heart out to this young girl, and I'm like, why would you do that? I said, why didn't you speak to so-and-so? You know, I called some names of people that we, you know, I said, why would you go to a young girl, you know, whose husband just left her pregnant and leave her, and we're taking care of her, and you're telling her your problems.
Wow.
And then he didn't know that I knew that. But he denied talking to anybody about anything in our marriage until I actually, you know, confronted him about her. And I thought he would learn from that. But, you know, behind my back, he you know, he's doing insane stuff, you know, and reaching out to female friends, I guess, he used to talk to on social media and telling them, oh, I don't have no wife, you know, I'm separated, no wife.
Yeah.
You know, so reaching out to a female, I don't know if he was seeing this person before, but... give her his number and tell her, you know,
he's open anytime,
and, you know, I'll come and help you move, and, you know,
okay.
I feel good to get in touch with you again, and all
I hear you. I hear you. He's definitely, I mean, he's living a double life. He's not. I want to share one thing with you, right, and I'm going to have to go for this. Ephesians chapter 5, the whole chapter is great, but I want you specifically to focus starting in verse 10, where it says, find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. I think this is when you sound the alarm. The Bible says you put it out in the light. You can't protect him.
Yeah.
You need to expose him.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a wolf. I mean, he's going after these young women. He beats you. He's not humble. Listen, you stay away unless this man radically changes his life. I would say even for your safety, stay away from him.
Yes.
Stay away from him.
Yes.
All right.
Definitely.
Well, Denise, thank you. And
thank
we'll
you
definitely
very much.
Keep you in prayer. Stay strong, my sister.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, it looks like that's what we have for today. It always moves so quickly.
It really does. And, you know, we do want to encourage all of you, if you've not done so already, that you go ahead and visit us on mm-hmm. our Facebook page. It's our second favorite book, like Tiffany loves to say. Obviously, the book, God's Word, the Bible, is our favorite book. But mm-hmm. in terms of social media, our social media of choice, you can always find us on Facebook. You go to Facebook.com/ Beyond the Vows and hit the like button, get in on the conversation, post comments, ask questions, you know, stay connected with us. You can also follow us on Twitter, and we just want you to stay connected with us. And you can tell your friends if for some reason they missed today's segment, you could always encourage them. Go to praisephilly.com, look for me, Marcos Mercado, Marriage Beyond the Vows, and you can listen to any of our archive shows, including today's show that will be posted soon.
All right. And with that said, we want to say much love to our in-studio producer, Larry.
Love.
Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We will catch you next time. Bye-bye.